At any given point in your career, you will be in one of three career phases. In today's episode, I'm breaking down the second career phase, the transition phase. I'm sharing more about some of the common mistakes that you might be making in this phase, common barriers you experience, the goals of this phase, and the kind of support you need to successfully overcome the barriers of this phase so that you can reach your career goals. Welcome to the Fulfilling Career Podcast, a show for the professional woman who's ready to work in an aligned career that allows her to thrive in her zone of genius, live on purpose, and get paid a value-aligned salary. I'm your host, Dr. Tega Edwin, and I share insights and strategies to help you reach your career goals, whether you're trying to find your fulfilling career, grow your current career, or successfully job search. Let's dive in. In today's episode, I'm talking about one of the three career phases that you will be in at any point in your career. And today we're talking about phase two, which is the transition phase. In a previous video and episode, I talked through phase one, which is the pivot phase. If you haven't checked out that video or listened to that episode yet, make sure you check out phase one, where I break down the mistakes, the common problems, barriers, and solutions to the issues that you might come across in phase one. So phase two of the career phases is called the transition phase. And it's important to recognize that while these phases are linear in the sense that you cannot be in the transition phase if you have not solved the problems of the pivot phase, it's not a one and done process. So they're cyclical, meaning that at any point in your career, rather at multiple points in your career, you will likely experience each of these phases. So while yes, right now in your career, you might be in the transition phase and then you get to phase three, 5 years down the line, you might find yourself in the transition phase again. So these are certainly cyclical, meaning you can experience each phase multiple times in no particular order. And that's why it's so important to have clarity about these three phases. Because what tends to happen is we'll be in our career, we'll be unhappy, and we're trying to solve whatever problem it is that we think we have so that we can experience more career joy or fulfillment. But if you are not clear about the exact problem that you need to be solving in your career, what you'll find is that you're doing things thinking that you're solving a problem, but you're trying to fix a phase of your career that you're not in. So for example, if you've listened to the pivot phase, I talked about how in the pivot phase, you need clarity. And so imagine that you are in the pivot phase of your career, but then you're job searching without clarity. And job searching we'll talk about today because that is a transition phase problem. So what happens is you think that you're doing all the right things, you're expending all the right energy, but you're still unhappy, you're still not hitting your career goals. And it's because you were trying to solve the right problem, or rather I should say solve the wrong problem. And solving the wrong problem will always leave you feeling discouraged, frustrated, and overwhelmed because it feels like you're doing what you should be and not making any progress. And then you're on this hamster wheel of trying to fix your career issues. So the second career phase that you might be in at multiple or any point in your career is called the transition phase. The transition phase of your career is characterized by being ready for the next evolution of your career. So generally, you're in the transition phase when you know that you're ready for whatever comes next on your same career path or journey. So you are not transitioning into a different career, but rather you're ready to secure the next evolution of your career within the same company or at the very least the same industry. So when I say next evolution, what does that mean? That could be anything from you're ready for a promotion. So you're ready to keep doing what you're already doing at a higher level, maybe now managing people or even onboarding people to do what you were doing. You are ready to take on new projects. So just bigger, more responsibilities, leading a team, leading a project. If maybe in the past you were just part of a team or a project, you are ready to maybe move into a different department or field within your same industry. So maybe in the past you had been in marketing, and while you were in marketing, you developed quite a few skills in sales. And so you're going to stay in the same industry, maybe even stay in the same company, but now you're moving into the sales department. And so you're just ready for the next evolution of doing something similar. So you're not making a drastic pivot where you're going to go from marketing to nursing. No, you're staying on the same path. And one of the things that leads us to the transition phase is that you have reached a cap on your ability to express your skill set. So while you've been working, you've developed quite a few skills, developed new ways of doing your job more efficiently, more effectively. And so now you've reached a phase of your career where it almost feels like you're just coasting. You're no longer feeling challenged. You're no longer stretching yourself. You're no longer learning or growing. And so you're ready for that next evolution, which is something that challenges you, gives you more responsibilities, gives you more or different ways to express and leverage your already existing skill set. And so the key here is to recognize that in the transition phase, typically you're content with your work. You're fairly satisfied and happy in terms of the work itself. And I think that's why I paused there and trying to classify what I was trying to say is the work itself is not so much making you miserable. You're just ready to grow. You're ready to advance. And that's why you need a transition as opposed to the pivot phase, which is characterized by you're not happy with the work you're doing. You're not happy at all. And you're ready to move into something different. So because you are ready for the next evolution of your career in the transition phase, this now means that you are ready to begin actively job searching. You are ready to get yourself out there and apply to jobs. And so the most common struggles that you experience in this phase of your jobs, of your career, are usually around job searching specifically. The first one is, and first and most common one is not knowing how to market yourself effectively. So in the transition phase of your career, if you don't know how to talk about your skills in a way that really positions you as the best candidate or the best fit for the job you're applying for, then you'll have a hard time securing roles. If you don't know how to communicate to your network what you're looking for, so what is that next evolution? Is it a promotion? Is it a project? Is it a raise? What does that look like? If you don't know how to articulate that, then usually you'll find yourself struggling in this phase. Another way that you might find yourself struggling to market yourself is when you look at your career brand collateral. So when we look specifically at your resume, your cover letter, your LinkedIn profile, when you don't know how to talk about what you have done in the past, talk about your accomplishments and talk about your skill set in a way that positions you for the role or for that next evolution that you want, then you will find that you are starting to feel discontent and unhappy in your career. The second most common struggle in the transition phase is that you're not getting interview offers in your job search. So you already know what job you want because you clarify that in the pivot phase. And so you are applying to jobs, you're putting yourself out there, but you're not getting any interviews. And you are usually going to start feeling frustrated because it feels like, or you think that you can do these jobs, right? You're like, I can do this in my sleep. I know that I have the capabilities to do this job. That's why I applied for it. Why am I not getting interviews? And that's usually tied to marketing. You haven't positioned yourself well for the role, and that's why you're not getting job offers. The third struggle, one of the third most common struggle that you might experience in this phase of your career is that you don't know how to connect with and communicate with recruiters. So if you are in the transition phase, again, you're actively trying to secure a new job. An important part of securing a new job is knowing how to find, communicate, and connect with recruiters, because for the most part, in most industries, they are sort of the gatekeepers into opportunities. They're the ones who are inviting you into interviews. And then once you get into the interview, it's up to you to shine and to show yourself and to get the job offer. And so if you don't know how to connect with recruiters, how to speak the language of the industry that you're applying to, speak the language of the company that you're applying to, because every company, every industry does have a unique language. It's why sometimes you might see two jobs that look the exact same, but they have different job titles and they call things. So one job calls them clients, another calls them customers, another calls them our, community, whatever it may be. Language like that is usually specific to a company or an industry. And so when you're transitioning, sometimes you might want to do the same job, but just move into a different industry. That could be the transition you're trying to make. And if you're trying to go into a different industry, but you don't understand the language of your new industry, you'll find that you are struggling to secure a job. And so if you're trying to go from education to technology or from technology to healthcare, you have to understand what do they refer to things that are related to your job, whether it's data, projects, customers, deadlines, deliverables, what are the words and the phrase that they use? And when you are able to tap into the language that an industry or a company uses, you position yourself as someone that is ready to enter that industry or that company, someone that would be able to slide in and fit in pretty seamlessly because you already speak the language. And then the last most common struggle that you might experience in the transition phase of your career is you are struggling to get job offers, or when you do get job offers, you're struggling to negotiate what feels to you like a value-aligned salary or compensation package. So if you are going on interviews, but you're not getting job offers, then usually this means that, again, you're not marketing yourself well, but this time you're not marketing yourself well in the interview. You are not going into the interview and you're not speaking their language. You're not clearly articulating how your experiences, skill sets, and accomplishments align with the job that you're applying for. You're not making that connection easy for the hiring manager or the recruiter, which is why you're not getting job offers. And then if you're struggling to negotiate fair compensation, then you don't have the skill sets. You haven't developed the skills that you need to clearly articulate your value add and why you should be compensated highly or the way that you want to be. So those are the most common struggles that you will experience in the transition phase. And because of those struggles, the most common emotions that you might be experiencing, so these are emotions that might clue you into if you are in the transition phase, overwhelm. So you might be finding that you're feeling overwhelmed because you've been applying to jobs. At this point, you feel like you've applied to hundreds, tens, multiple jobs, and you're not getting any traction in your job search. You are potentially feeling frustrated also for the same reason, because you're not getting job offers. You might be feeling tired because job searching can be exhausting, particularly when you don't have a strategy or a plan that you're following in your job search. You also might be experiencing a lot of fear. Typically, fear of rejection might be keeping you from applying to certain jobs. Fear of rejection might be keeping you from negotiating fair compensation. Fear of just failing, fear of not being successful might keep you from applying to certain jobs that deep down in your heart, you know that you're qualified for these jobs. Now, I want to pause here and really circle back to something I said earlier about you can't be in the transition phase if you haven't cleared the pivot phase. And that's because the pivot phase is where you get clarity. If you remember, and this is why I said, if you haven't listened to that episode, go listen to that episode. The goals in the pivot phase is to really understand who you are so that you can figure out what jobs are most aligned. And so if you are trying to do transition activities, meaning you're trying to job search without clarity, you're going to experience all these emotions I just talked about: overwhelm, frustration, exhaustion, fear. When you go into transition phase activities, meaning job searching, without clarity about the exact role that you're looking for, when you don't have what I call radical focus, meaning there are only two jobs maximum that you're applying for, your job search will not be effective and it will take significantly longer. And job searching is a process that already takes 3 to 6 months on average. And so imagine lengthening that process because you're going into it without clarity. You probably don't want that to happen. And so it's so important that before you start doing transition activities, which is job searching, you take a step back and check and confirm that you are not actually in the pivot phase, meaning you need clarity about who you are and what you want and which specific job you want. Because the thing that characterizes the transition phase is you already know that the path you're on is the right path. You are fairly content in your job. You're just ready to elevate and keep doing what you were doing at a higher level. So there is no trying to figure out what job title should I look for? What job should I be applying for? Is this the right fit? Those are pivot phase problems and pivot phase questions. In the transition phase, you know what job you're looking for. You're just trying to market yourself better so you can secure a job more effectively. That all being said, if you are in either the pivot or transition phase, especially as I'm talking through the transition phase, if you feel like you have been applying to jobs, you're struggling to market yourself, you're not interviewing well, you're not getting job offers, or you're getting offers and you feel like you can't really negotiate fair compensation, then you definitely need to join us in my signature group coaching program, Find Your Fulfilling Career. Find Your Fulfilling Career is a coaching program that was built specifically for women who are unhappy at work to get clarity about who they are so they can find and secure secure a fulfilling career with a five-figure salary increase. FYFC is a six-month group coaching program that walks you through the entire career and job search process. I'm going to put the link in the show notes and in the description below for you so you can check it out. Or if you want, you can just go to findyourfulfillingcareer.com to learn more about FYFC. Okay, so that being said, what is usually the goal or the desire that you have in the transition phase? The desire in the transition phase is to secure a new aligned job that leverages your high power skills and pays a value aligned salary. Let's break all of that down. A new and aligned job. Again, because transition phase is preceded by the pivot phase, you already know what an aligned job looks like for you. You know what you would require in a job to be fulfilled and satisfied. And so you're looking for something that matches well that you will be happy in. Aligned job. Leveraging your high power skills, meaning that you're not just looking for a job where you can use all the skills you have, because just because you can do something doesn't mean you enjoy it. Your high power skills are those skills that make you feel strong, powerful, confident when you leverage them. And so you want an aligned job, which by default is one that leverages your high power skills, those skills that you actually enjoy using, and then pays you a value aligned salary, meaning you have clarity on the value you're bringing to the table. You have clarity on what your cost of living numbers are, so that when you are going into job search, you already have your range of compensation. So the numbers that you want, it's usually about a $10,000 to $20,000 range of salary, as well as your walkaway number, meaning you go into the transition phase already knowing that if a company is offering you anything below this specific number, it's already guaranteed a no. You absolutely must have clarity about your walkaway number to secure an aligned, fulfilling career that makes you feel like you're getting paid a value-aligned salary. And so that's usually the desire in this phase, is to actually secure that job that you will thrive in that will pay you well. And so that being said, some common mistakes that usually I see women making in the transition phase and why they don't work are, I'm going to tell you four of them and then we'll go into them. Applying to too many jobs, only applying to jobs online, waiting to match a job 100% before you apply to the job, and trying to rush the job search process. So let's talk about all four of those. Applying to too many jobs. And if this is you, if you've been applying to too many jobs, I can understand where you're coming from, because that is usually the general consensus out there. You often hear people saying the more jobs you apply to, the higher your chances of getting a job. But honestly, that is so far from the truth. Job search math is not normal math. The more jobs you apply to usually just means to more rejections, more discouragement, and more frustration in your job search. And that's because if you're applying to a large volume of jobs, there's a high chance that you're not applying to aligned jobs and you haven't cultivated radical focus in your job search. Because when you have radical focus, it significantly limits the number of jobs that you apply to. And I intentionally said too many jobs and left it broad, because that number, there is no number. It's vague. However, I will say, when I hear people saying I've applied to hundreds of jobs, 100 jobs, 200 jobs, I already know that you are doing it wrong. You are not being intentional and you don't have radical focus, because it is very rare that if you are being intentional about this process, it is very rare that there are 100 of the job that you're looking for out there in the world. And that's because by its very definition, radical focus means that you are going into the job search knowing the exact job you're looking for, the type of company you want to go into, the industry you want to go into, the compensation you want, the geographic location you want to be in, the type of team culture you're looking for. Once you put all those parameters into the equation, girl, there are not 100 of those jobs out there. They just aren't. If they are, I mean, I would love to see it. I'm willing to be corrected. I'll say that much. But in my experience, when I work with clients who are intentionally job searching, max that they're applying to is 20 jobs. I have never worked with a client who has applied to more than 20 jobs before they got a job offer. And that's just because you are more picky, you are more choosy, you are more selective when you have radical focus in the job search and when you are being intentional about it. And that brings me to the second most common mistake on here, which is you're only applying to jobs online. First, that's usually why you are able to apply to hundreds of jobs, is you're just clicking the easy apply button on LinkedIn, which if you're doing that, if you're using the easy apply button on LinkedIn, just know that you're not getting that job. Like, you've just shot yourself in the foot. Don't do it. But that's just submitting applications online. That's what makes it easy for you to just submit a large volume of applications. The bigger problem, other than that, is that only about 40% of available jobs are actually posted online on job boards. And of those 40%, I would say about 10 of them are dead jobs. Dead jobs meaning they're not actually trying to hire someone for the job. They had to post it because of some law or some regulation, but they already know who they're going to hire. They already have their candidate. It's usually somebody internal. And so that really is about 30% of the jobs that are available are what you're applying to online. But there is about 70 to 80% of jobs out there that are never posted online. And if you are only applying to jobs online and you're not having conversations with people, then you are never going to tap into what we call the hidden job market. And the hidden job market is where that other 70 to 80% of jobs are hiding. And so if you're only applying to jobs online, you have significantly limited your ability to secure an aligned job with a value-aligned salary. And then that third one, the third common mistake that I see in this phase, is when you're waiting to match the job 100%. Meaning you look at a job description, and if you can't do everything you see on the job description, you automatically tell yourself, I can't do this, you don't apply for the job. Look, if you are 100% qualified for a job you're applying to, you are overqualified. Every time you apply for a job, there should be room for growth. There should be room for development. And so when you apply to jobs that you're 100% matched for, here are some things you see happen. One, you don't get a call back because companies look at you and they think you're overqualified. And so they're just not calling you back. You're not getting interviews. Two, you might get the job, you might go in the job, but what happens is you very quickly get bored and dissatisfied and find yourself unhappy again. And that's because you could do the job in your sleep. When you're looking at a job posting, you should be aiming for between 60 and 80% proficiency, no more than 80%. Meaning that if there are 10 bullet points of responsibilities on a job posting, if you can do between 6 and 8 of those bullet points, you should be applying to the job. And I say that again, because if you are 100% qualified, you're overqualified. Not to mention, there have been multiple different studies that have looked into this when it comes to men and women. And what it shows is that historically, and there's a lot more nuance to this, I'm going to give you the broad strokes because the research is not the detail of this, but broadly what we see is men are more likely to apply to jobs that they are not fully qualified for than women. And I'm telling you this, like, I have seen this by myself. I remember, I think it was maybe last year, talking to a very close friend of mine who works with an organization. So she's in healthcare research. And so they hire out certain parts of their sort of medication development to another organization. And so they always have someone who's a project management on their project. And she was telling me, and just to give you some context, she used to be, I'm just going to use broad words here. She used to be on the project management side with one organization, and she left. And now she's on the, we're the ones that are developing and looking to hire a project manager side. So because she was on the PM side, she knows what it takes to do the job well, do it on time. And she was telling me how the company that they hired to take on their project, the person who was the director of the lead, this young man, I don't know what he looks like, I don't know who he is, he got the job without ever having done the job. Not just got the job, he got the director level job. He had never done the job. He had never been in the industry. And you could tell that he did not know what he was doing when she would have conversations with him. And I'm just saying that to give you an anecdote that I have heard of personally outside of, because sometimes when we talk about research and statistics, it can feel like, okay, but it's just numbers. Is it true? It is true. Men typically will not be waiting to match jobs 100% before they apply. And I personally have worked with many women who did not apply for jobs because there were two things they couldn't do. And I had to coach them through that of, wait, hold on, back up. Let's look at this job posting holistically. You can do most of it. We can market you for most of it. The rest will happen with on-the-job learning and is your room for growth. And so when you wait to 100% to match a job 100% before you apply, again, you're limiting your chances of getting the job and it's going to make the process frustrating for you. And then that last problem, most common mistake that I see here, is trying to rush the process. The average job search takes 3 to 6 months. Yes. And I shared an episode, I'm going to put it out, I'll link it in the description below, but there's a previous episode where I answered the question. It was a job search Q&A episode where I answered the question, why is my job search taking too long? And I break down more specifically what happens in those 3 to 6 months. So check out that episode. But the point is just know that on average, 3 to 6 months. And so when you go into the job search, trying to rush the process, you're trying to get a job within a month or two, does it happen? Yes. I've had clients who have gotten jobs within 2 months, but that's not the norm. And so when you rush the process, what happens is you burn out quicker, you give up quicker, and you're more discouraged. So the whole process then becomes frustrating for you because you're not seeing results as fast as you think you should be, but your metrics are off. You're not measuring progress with the right numbers. So what should your focus be in the transition phase? If you realize that, okay, yes, I'm in the transition phase of my career, what do you need to focus on? 3 things. Develop radical focus, learn to market yourself effectively, and learn to build relationships. Radical focus, I talked about that one earlier. You need to be clear on the specific job that you're trying to apply for. The specific job. Now, yes, that specific job might have different job titles, and that's because maybe there are 2 to 3 industries that you're willing to go into. And sometimes different industries will have different titles for the same job. But when it comes to looking at the responsibilities, the roles, it's the same job. There's one job that you're applying to. When you have radical focus, the second focus becomes easier, meaning marketing yourself is so much more easy when you know the exact job you're marketing yourself for. Telling people how they can help you in your career is so much easier when you have radical focus. When you can say, hey, I'm looking for a HR generalist role in the healthcare industry. If you see any of those roles available, please help share it with me. Now you have made it super easy for somebody to know how to help you. HR generalist, healthcare industry. They don't have to think too hard. If they come across that role, if they see somebody hiring, they know, yes, this is for you. They send it to you. But when you tell people, you know what, I'm looking for a new job and I'm pretty open. I could do some marketing things, but some data analysis things also. And I would be open to customer service. Now you're giving people work to do. Like you're asking people to help you, but you want them to work for it. Nobody's going to do that. Some people might if they really love you, but for the most part, nobody's doing that. You need to be super clear on what it is you're looking for in the job search, and then you can communicate that with people. And then radical focus makes it so much easier for you to market yourself. Because when you think about job searching, you are always marketing yourself for the role you want. So when you start job searching, you automatically become a marketer and a salesperson all at once. You are marketing your skill set, your accomplishment, your experiences, your value add to a company so that they can look at you and say, yes, we want that person. Your skill sets and your value add are a product that you are given to an organization to help them solve a problem that they have. And so if you don't have radical focus, when somebody goes to your LinkedIn profile or your resume, they're seeing a bunch of different skill sets, different accomplishments, different experiences that could apply to different roles. And so it makes it hard to know if you are the right fit for a specific job or not. But when you develop radical focus, then it is so much easier for you to look at your history, look at your job history, and you know exactly which experiences to talk about, which accomplishments to highlight, which skills to spotlight, because you know which experiences, accomplishments, and skills you will position you as the best candidate for the role that you want. And you can only do that when you know the specific role that you want. Because I bet if you look at your history, you can apply all your experiences, your skills to multiple different roles. And so if you are not marketing yourself specifically, then now you're giving recruiters and hiring managers work to do in trying to figure out if you are right for their role or not. And then the last thing you need to focus on in this phase is leveraging your relationship. So remember I said earlier, only about 40% of available jobs are actually posted on job boards, which means you need to be regularly having conversations in your job search if you're going to really maximize and tap into all available jobs in the hidden job market. And a prime example of this is one of my clients that I worked with a couple of years ago, Jen. Jen was applying to roles and she, you know, we would have our coaching sessions and she told me about a job that she wanted to apply for. And so I asked her, have you talked to anybody? Because I teach the skills and coaching sessions are more, you know, strategizing and applying what you've been taught to your situation. And so I asked her, have you had a conversation with anybody in this organization or in this field? And she said, no. And I was like, first of all, girl, you know better. Like, that is not what I taught you to do. And so she and I worked together. We found somebody for her to talk to. And in our next coaching session, she came back and told me how helpful that conversation was for her. Because from that one conversation, three things happened. One, she realized that she actually did not want to be in that company. So she said she talked to a director in the organization and she realized that the culture was actually not a fit for her. So imagine if she didn't have that conversation, she would have applied to this job. Maybe she would have gotten an interview. Actually, she probably would have gotten interviews because she would have used my strategies. And then she would have gone through this whole rigmarole only to either get catfished by the company, meaning getting into the organization and realizing that the company is not what they sold themselves as. So then she would be unhappy, or get to the end of the process and not want the job anyway. And so that was the first thing. The second thing she got from this conversation is it was such a great conversation that this director told Jen to send her her resume, that she would pass her resume on to some contact of hers. That alone 10x's Jen's chances of getting a job. Because what the research shows us is that people who are referred internally are 10 times more likely to get a job than those who apply externally. And the third thing she got from this one, it was a 30-minute conversation. The third thing was the director then told her about three other organizations who had similar openings, organizations that we had not come across in our search, from one 30-minute conversation. So what I like to remind you if you're in the transition phase is that conversations drive conversions. Meaning when you have conversations with people, you're likely to get an interview. That's a conversion. You're likely to get a job offer. That's a conversion. You're likely to secure the job. You need to develop or strengthen your ability to talk to people. And your relationship doesn't always have to be people you know. Talk to strangers too. Talk to people in the companies you're applying to. But you need to focus on those three things if you are in the transition phase. Radical focus, marketing yourself, and leveraging your relationships. And so finally, if you are in the transition phase, the specific support that you will need to be able to successfully reach your goal of securing an aligned job with a value-aligned salary increase, first, you need support identifying your transferable skills. This is an area where I find most women struggle the most is, how do I identify my transferable skills so that I can better market myself for the role that I want? And so you need to get support in really having someone look objectively at your history, at your work experiences, and help you pull out what those transferable skills are. You need to get support navigating the job search process. Someone who can help you when your mindset starts to spiral into this negative drain of, oh my gosh, I'm not getting an offer. I'm not getting an interview. Everything sucks. I'm not going to make it, right? Like your mind will play so many games on you when you're job searching. You need someone to help you navigate that. You need support in figuring out how to find recruiters for roles, how to find hiring managers, how to find people just to connect with so you can have those conversations that will drive conversions. You need support how to figure out if a job is legit or not when you see a job posting online. And then finally, you likely need support effectively negotiating a value-aligned compensation. You need support figuring out how to ask for more money, how to pick your walkaway number, how to pick your salary range, what to say when you ask for more money and they say no. How do you respond to them? How do you even start the conversation? Or how do you respond when they ask you how much you want to be compensated, but you don't want to tell them first? You likely need support in all these areas. And I provide you with support in all these areas in my program, Find Your Fulfilling Career. In FYFC, you get scripts literally for what to say in interviews. So questions like, tell me about yourself. Why do you want this job? I give you word for word scripts for how to respond. When it comes to negotiating, I give you scripts for how to ask for more money, what to say when they say no, and navigate that whole process. I give you templates for resumes, for cover letters, for your LinkedIn profile. There's a tool in there. This is one of the best things in the program. It's called the Skills Matchup Tool. And this tool, it has a video training, walks you through how to take a job description, break it down, and match a job description to your skill set and your experiences. So then you know how to talk about your history in a way that positions you as the ideal candidate for the job search. Find Your Fulfilling Career was built to walk you through the entire job search process so that you can secure an aligned job with a five-figure salary increase. As of recording this video, the systems that I teach in this program has helped women secure over $340,000 in salary increases. And so if, as you were listening to this, you were really resonating with the transition phase and some of the mistakes and the struggles that I shared, then I want to invite you to join us in FYFC. Now, FYFC is an application-only program, and I'll put the details to apply in the description in the show notes below. But you do have to apply because I want to make sure it's actually the best way to serve you in your career. So you can check out findyourfulfillingcareer.com, or you can just look in the description below for the details about how to join us in FYFC. So thank you for listening to today's episode. I hope you found this helpful. If you did, don't forget to leave us a rating or a review. It really does help the podcast grow, and I will catch you in the next episode.